Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and their homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Briefing, Monday, October 2nd, 2017. You know, it's been a long, good weekend for me. I hope it was for you, but the weekend just come to an end, my friends, and that's okay. We shall remember those days fondly as we move into another week of the grind. And to help you start things off on a positive note, we've got a great show coming up for you today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll replay our interview with the biking philanthropist, Adam Sandoval. Adam is the man behind Mission Thank You. That's the program where 8 brand new Harley-Davidson motorcycles are being given away to deserving veterans and active duty military members. Now, Adam Sandoval, he never served. So why has helping vets become his life's mission? Well, you'll find out in just a little bit. Later on, we're going to speak to Ivan Reichlin. Now, Ivan is a Special Forces soldier, 20-year veteran of the military, currently serving in the National Guard, has a lot of interesting things on his military resume, who's now doing something extremely interesting to bring attention to vet issues on his own time. You see, he's started a 1,776-mile run, 1776, you get it, throughout every county in Virginia. He's calling it Run with Reichlin, and he's going to tell us all about himself and his run coming up later today. So a big show on the way, and it starts off now as we welcome Jake Hughes into the studio. Jake, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, of course, we are looking at the news and what is being called the deadliest mass shooting in American history, at least 50 killed and 200 injured in that shooting in Las Vegas. The gunman apparently opening fire from inside of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, a 32nd floor room from what I've seen, shooting down into a concert crowd. It appears to be some sort of a festival focusing on country music.
It was the Route 91 Festival being held there in Vegas. It all happened during country singer James Aldean's set. And from what I understand, at least 3 magazines were loosed. Well, there had to be more because with over 100 injured and 50 killed so far.
Over 200 injured and 50 dead.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
200 injured, at least 50 dead. So, I mean, 250, what we've seen from the video and the audio of it, fully automatic weapon, clearly. I mean, you listen to it in the background, and it is a nonstop, just a barrage. So when you talk about magazines being emptied, I heard fully automatic fire for a good 20 seconds straight. That's a lot longer than it takes to fire off your typical magazine of, what, 30 rounds
30
from
rounds,
a
yeah.
M4 or M16, which is like, brrr, it's that, and it's done. It's like 4 seconds to fire off all 30 of those rounds. This was a continual automatic fire for a long period of time. So this is weaponry that was... one, we can already pretty much verify illegal. I mean, fully automatic weaponry, unless you have a very special ATF license, is illegal within the United States. You're not allowed to have fully automatic weapons. And this is something that had hundreds of rounds inside of whatever it was shooting out of, whether it was a drum, whether it was belt fed. I don't know. I mean, it was loud. It had a... kind of sounded like, to me, when I was listening to it, like the SAW, the squad automatic weapon, which is what, your 240?
M249.
The 249 is the SAW, and then what's the other one?
M240 Bravo, that's the...
the bigger one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay, I got the two backwards. So the 249, that's what it sounded like to me. That's what it sounded like. So it sounded like fully automatic, perhaps military-grade weaponry. I mean, I've heard... just about every weapon you can think of fired off, and this was not somebody up there with just your well, of course, we've talked about this term before, your assault weapon, which doesn't really mean anything.
It's right.
A semi-automatic rifle made to look like a military one. This thing had full automatic capability. There is no way it was single pulse shots. Just you can go online and find videos that people shot. Of course, it was at a concert. Everybody already had their phones out. Jason Aldean, a country music singer, was on stage as it happened and had to leave once he realized what was going on. But yeah, they're saying at least 50 dead, 200 plus injured. Police saying that at this time, at this juncture, they will not say it's a terrorist attack because they don't know anything about this person's ideology, beliefs, anything like that. We have seen a name being bandied about of who the shooter is, but the police haven't officially released one, so we're not going to say what that name is because too many times the wrong name has been given out in one of these things. It seems pretty likely that this is the guy, but until the police confirm that, and we'll have that as soon as they do, we really can't get into it, but they have put out the name of someone who is a person of interest, which was a female who we're seeing her picture up on TV right now on one of the news channels there. ABC News having her channel up, her picture up there. Apparently a roommate of him, maybe a girlfriend, maybe just a friend. We're not 100% sure on exactly what her relationship to him was. I've been reading that perhaps via police radio chatter, it's been found that they may have found a credit card of hers in the hotel room where the shooter was. That shooter is neutralized. They are dead. The shooter has been killed, but was firing down. And again, at least 50 killed and 200 injured in that shooting at a Las Vegas concert, which makes it the deadliest mass shooting in United States history, pushing it past, I believe, Virginia Tech, I think,
yeah,
was
Virginia Tech.
The previous one with, yeah.
No, I think it may have been Pulse.
Oh, you're right. The Pulse nightclub. Yeah, wasn't that one higher than 50?
That was like 55 or something like that.
So this one, if they're saying at least 50 killed, we did see a thing saying that it was the deadliest mass shooting, and we're seeing that. Yeah, CNN is saying it right now. Deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. If that's the case, then you're over. Well, how many were the Pulse nightclub? Let's figure that out before we start talking about numbers that we don't know.
I was researching this because I looked it up, and apparently the shooting started. The first reports of shooting were given at about 10:08 local time last night, and based on police chatter, we found out that just before midnight, SWAT broke into the room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel and neutralized the shooter.
49 people were killed in the 2016 Pulse nightclub shooting. This one now with at least 50 dead. They're still figuring out exactly how many people were killed. Again, so many videos on social media people took there. One I saw was of Dan Bilzerian, who's actually a Navy vet and now kind of an international playboy / poker player. He shot video of himself as he was running away from the scene, saying that he had just seen a woman get shot in the head right next to him, saying that it was crazy. There's a lot of videos out there that you're going to be able to see. I've seen some pictures of what are dead bodies just on the ground. 50 plus people killed in Las Vegas. So a very, very rough way to start off your day. I had no idea, because as I drove in today, I was listening to some of our stuff, checking it out. And I get in and I walk in and see the TVs. And I think a lot of people are going to wake up to this morning and go, whoa, what the heck happened? Because when I went to sleep last night at midnight or so, I guess it was. It was a little late for me. There was nothing on this yet. So 10 p.m., they're what? They're Pacific time in Vegas,
No,
right?
I think they're Mountain time.
Are they? So that would be 2 hours, 2 hours?
3 hours.
From here?
No.
No, Pacific is 3 hours. 2 hours is Mountain time. I think, what time is it in Nevada right now? Well, here we go. We're figuring stuff out as we go. But you're listening to The Morning Briefing. And as I said, we do have a fantastic show on the way for you today. We're going to replay the interview that we did with Adam Sandoval of Mission Thank You. Adam is the Harley Davidson riding philanthropist who is basically, it's 3 hour there Pacific time. So, okay. That would have happened 10 PM their time. So about 1 AM East Coast time. So a lot of people on the East Coast waking up to this news, right now. And of course, horrible news. Our thoughts go out to everybody out there, involved, who may have had someone killed, who may have been there themselves and seen this horrific event taking place. Really just a horrible, horrible situation out in Las Vegas. And as things are updated today, we'll try to keep you updated. Just it's important to do to let you know of the latest and greatest. Again, police saying at this point they do not have any reason to call it a terrorist incident. They also say they do not know what the person's beliefs and ideologies were. So we'll have to wait and see, because I know, you know, in this day and age, that's one of the first things that pops into people's minds. And we saw two attacks yesterday, one in France, one in Canada, Edmonton specifically. Two women killed in France outside of, I believe it was in Marseille, outside of some tourist attraction. That one confirmed to be an act of terrorism, as well as up in Canada, where it appears that there were a couple people killed up in Edmonton as well. So terrorism, of course, at the forefront of people's minds when they hear about 50 dead people and 200 injured. I don't know how much worse it makes it when it's something like that, but it seems to make it worse in people's minds. I mean, well, it's pretty horrifying no matter what. But
to me, and this is just my opinion, it's worse when it's not terrorism, because if it's terrorism, there's a belief structure behind it. There's someone who do this for, they think, for a reason. Hmm. It may be, you know, senseless, but if it's just some random wacko doing it senselessly, to me, in my mind, that makes it worse.
Well, I think I disagree. I look at it the other way, because that ideology, that's something that you can prevent, that you can work with an ideology. You can change someone's beliefs. Crazy wackos, as you just put it. There's always been crazy wackos. There's always going to be crazy wackos, and there's just nothing you can do about that. I mean, you know, when we talk about these items and we talk about things like school shootings, I always bring up to people that the deadliest school attack in history took place about 100 years ago. It didn't involve guns. It involved explosives. A guy who was fired from the school, who was already known to be a little bit of a loose cannon, blew up a school in Bath Township, Maine, and killed, I think over 100 people with it. So this is not a new phenomenon. This is something, there have always been crazy people doing crazy things. We'll have to wait and see exactly what the situation in Las Vegas is, whether this was just a crazy person, whether it was an act of terrorism. The police have used a very interesting term, though. They've described the person as, they believe, a lone wolf. Now, that's a term that's usually tied in to terrorist attacks. A lone wolf who is acting within a set of beliefs, but acting alone, not without any support. I've never really heard lone wolf used in any sort of other situation. So that raised some questions in my head of what they may already know about this guy. But then again, they've also said they don't know his belief structure. They don't know anything. And that lone wolf term, it may have just come out because it's kind of become ingrained in the lexicon recently with so many attacks that are described as lone wolf attacks. You may just say it, even if there is no tie to terrorism and radical Islam and all of the things that you think about when you hear that term. All right. So again, we will keep you updated. You're listening to The Morning Briefing. Eric Dame and Jake Hughes in here. So from a very serious topic of discussion to one that's slightly less serious, but very important for one Jake Hughes, you are now how many weeks into not smoking, Jake? Are we officially at 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks in. And how'd you do this weekend? Again, the weekends are tough because you get a lot of free time.
I did pretty good, actually. I didn't smoke at all.
Well, congratulations. That's a good thing. And was there anything in particular? I mean, did you have any moments where you were close, where you were on the edge?
I did. Saturday night, I was chatting online with some friends. And, you know, I'll be honest, we were playing an online role-playing game together.
Okay.
Like D&D type thing. I'm that kind of nerd.
Which
yes,
one?
I am.
World of Warcraft? What were you playing?
It was actually based on Fallout.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I was doing that, and I was having a few drinks in my apartment, a couple adult alcoholic beverages, and that's...
How dare you?
I know, that's one of the things where I used to smoke when I drank, and so I was worried, but I made it through. It was a little difficult, but I made it through.
That's one of those things that often comes up with people who... I know how so many people who have quit smoking, and then you can put up the quotation marks, except when they drink. Mm-hmm. Or accept when they do this, or accept when they do that. So it's often a little bit of a crutch where, you know, some of the people I know who have said, well, I quit smoking except when I drink. And then it's like, yeah, but you drink every night.
Yeah.
Like, I know you, man. You're not fooling anybody. I only smoke when I'm drinking. Yeah, you're drinking like almost as soon as you get off of work until it's time to go to bed. So
yeah, see, that's the thing is you smoke only when you drink. Okay, fine, but you still have that nicotine addiction. So maybe that leads to you saying, well, I really want a cigarette, so I might as well start drinking now. So, you know.
Yeah, that is not it's not a good way to do it. But Jake has basically gone, not cold turkey, because you've had some assistance. Now, you had said last week you were at the point with the patch where you thought you didn't need it anymore. Oh,
nope.
He's flashing the guns in the studio. Should be a law against that. Oof, that was disturbing. All right, so Jake is going through his non-smoking crusade as he's working to get himself healthy and get himself doing less of it. I am also trying to quit smoking and not doing it nearly as well as Jake. I did have a couple yesterday. Also took my family to the National Aquarium yesterday, which was a lot of fun. Actually ended up getting a family annual membership so that we can go anytime we want.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, we figured this out with two adults and a child. It's going to cost us like $100 or so for the tickets. Well, as long as we go one more time, then the annual family membership is worth it because it costs like $200 and you can go as many times as you want. So we're going to go. It was great. We had a fantastic time. My son announced as soon as we got home that aquarium was so cool. I was like, well, I'm glad you think so because we have this pass and that means we're going to go back a lot because we're going to get a good use out of it. So a good weekend overall for that stuff. But we are seeing some news in addition to the Las Vegas shooting. Here's some bad news. Oh, man. So we are seeing that a Navy plane has crashed in the Cherokee National Forest in southeastern Tennessee. This is courtesy of WATE-TV. And this is the Monroe County Emergency Management Director, David Chambers, telling us that, in fact, a U.S. Navy plane is believed to have crashed in the Cherokee National Forest.
All indications are that there is no survivors. We were unable to get all the way to the cockpit area of the site, so as of this time, we're assuming that still we can have confirmation. There was no sign of a survivor.
So that, of course, not something that you like to hear. A Navy plane crashing in Cherokee National Forest. That's in southeastern Tennessee. And as Monroe County Emergency Management Director David Chambers just said there, they do not believe there are any survivors of that aircraft. We don't know anything else about the aircraft. We don't know what type of aircraft it was. We don't know how many were on board. All we know is that the Monroe County Emergency Management Director is saying that it's essentially not likely that there were any survivors. I'm looking through the story right now. Here's some print on it. The crash occurred Sunday afternoon in Teleco Plains, which is about 45 miles southwest of Knoxville. Field of debris estimated to be at least a half mile long. Navy confirmed that a T-45-6 Goshawk aircraft was training in the area and had not returned to its Mississippi base by late Sunday. Two pilots on board. So this is a training aircraft, the T-45, that I'm actually somewhat familiar with just because I've been stationed on air stations before. Anytime there's a T in front of a Navy aircraft, it means it's a training aircraft. The 45, a two-seater, I believe, front and back, one pilot in front of the other that they use. I think that's the one that they use to train people for becoming fighter jet pilots, but it looks like it was based out of Mississippi, went down in Tennessee, and yeah, that's exactly the one I thought it was. So it is a trainer jet for fighters. If those of you who've been around naval air stations have seen the little white jet with the red tips or orange tips on the wings, tail, and nose, that is the McDonnell Douglas T-45 Goshawk, I believe is how it's pronounced. So, hopefully they're wrong, but it doesn't sound like it, that the two on board of that T-45 were lost in that crash in Tennessee. There's a chance, I guess, that people could have been, they could have ejected perhaps. But oftentimes with those crashes, if they are over populated areas, they will try to get to a non-populated area to keep the plane from killing anyone else. And those pilots often putting their own lives at risk in order to keep that from happening. I remember that happened with, a gentleman that I knew who was one of the Blue Angels who went down in South Carolina. And in order to not crash into a populated area, stayed with the plane until it went down into an unpopulated area. This one going down Cherokee National Park, which is not necessarily a populated area, but again, we know next to nothing about the situation taking place there. So we will have to wait and see exactly what that is going on over there. But yeah, not good. Just not a good day overall, man. This has been a bad news morning. Navy plane crashes and at least 50 dead, 200 plus injured at a concert in Las Vegas. That's something that the numbers have changed already. When I came in, it was 20 dead. And then I looked up and said, whoa, 50. And Jake looked up and said it was 20 just a second ago as he was working on something related to it. So we will keep an eye on that for you, keep you updated throughout the show if those numbers change. Now, Jake, coming up, as I said, well, whoever that is needs to move their mouse cursor off in the middle of the screen. That's bad news. Come on, man. Get that off of there. All right. So then we're talking about one of the TV networks. Oh, there they go. They moved it. Someone left the cursor of the mouse on the screen. So Adam Sandoval, mission thank you through Harley Davidson. Jake, you ride a motorcycle. I, once again, am riding a motorcycle. I picked up my Harley from Old Glory Harley Davidson this weekend. They did a lot of work on it, and I knew it was going to cost me some money. You know what, though?
What?
It ended up costing less than I thought it would.
Oh, good.
Yeah, like almost half of what I thought it would. So that was a nice surprise. I went into that place like kind of dreading it, like, let me pull out the credit card. Nope. Walked in and said, all right, this is a lot less than I thought it was, because they gave me an estimate, but it ended up being on the low end of that estimate. So that's fantastic. Got my bike back out there, running well, new fat back tire, new brake pads, new everything, the ratio on the clutch. Oh, man, I'm so happy to be out there on it again. I was thinking about riding it in this morning. Then I walked outside and I was like, it's chilly. It's a Monday. I didn't get a lot of sleep. I just want to relax and have my coffee in the car. Maybe tomorrow I'll ride it in.
Yeah, I'm going to ride tomorrow. I didn't ride this morning because I usually don't ride on Mondays because, like you said, it's the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
May not have got much sleep on Sunday, so it's like, I don't feel like it.
Here's the thing. There are, so far, 5 veterans and military members who were unable to ride bikes because they didn't have one up until the last couple of months when they received a bike through Mission Thank You. We're going to replay our interview with Adam Sandoval, who is the biking philanthropist behind that program, in concert with Harley Davidson, where they're giving out 8 bikes to 8 deserving veteran and military members. You can go to missionthankyou.com. That's all one word, missionthankyou.com. There are still 3 bikes to be given away, and they are still accepting recommendations. Basically, you can recommend yourself or someone that you know who you think is deserving. There are 3 of these brand new Milwaukee 8 Harley Davidson still to be given away. We talked to Adam after giving away the 5th one down in Texas. He had already driven up into Oklahoma. This guy put so many miles on that bike, Jake. So many miles. We're talking like 80,000 over the last couple years. I mean, it's insane what he's done. He's crisscrossed the country numerous times in a fundraising effort with, I believe, Wounded Warrior Project. He's done so much for the veteran community through his biking efforts, which, as you'll hear in the interview, sounds like a bit of a win-win for him because he loves the veteran community and he also loves riding on his bike with his dog.
With his dog?
Oh, yeah. Well, now he's got a little dog. I think it's like a Chihuahua or a miniature pincher. It's a small dog, has a little house on the back of his bike. He puts it in there. It's like a bag that's specially made for the dog to live in. It has a place to sleep in there and all that good stuff. The dog's name is Scooter. Scooter rides around with him and is as big a name as he is in the Harley Davidson community. Scooter has a great time out there. So he and his little dog traveling around the country and right now working their way through Mission Thank You, which they're now over halfway through. So only 3 bikes left. If you are interested in having a motorcycle, if you've said, well, you know, I'd like one, but they're kind of expensive, this would be free. Nominate yourself. Nominate somebody you know who you think might want it. Just go ahead and do it at missionthankyou.com. And in just a couple of minutes, You'll get to hear that interview with Adam Sandoval. And then coming up later in the show, Ivan Reichlin. Now, this is an interesting guy. I actually met him shortly after I moved down to start work here at ConnectingVets.com at this this event that they held at one of the political doohickey centers here in Washington, D.C., basically providing presenting plaques to those veterans who serve in Congress. He was there, and he is a Special Forces veteran. He's currently serving in the National Guard. Very interesting military resume, but what he's doing outside of that on his spare time right now, running 1,776 miles, 1776, the year our nation was born. He's doing that to raise awareness of veterans' issues. We're going to talk to him about his career and about that run. I mean, Jake, in 81 days doing 1,776 miles, I don't know, like, I could do that on my motorcycle, I guess. I can do it in my car.
Yeah, I could drive it.
He's doing 22 miles a day for 81 days, breaking it up into two 11-mile segments each day. Really an impressive thing that he's doing, and I look forward to talking to him about that as well as about his career. Just a kind of fascinating character there who's still serving his country and serving the veteran community as well. So Ivan Reichlin coming up, and, of course, Adam Sandoval coming up in just a couple of minutes, really about 3 minutes right now, if you want to be a stickler for actual times. You're listening to The Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is the producer. Monday morning show underway, and it continues after this.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to The Morning Briefing here on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets Every Day. It's a little bit of what we do. And who are we? Well, we're you. Everybody at the ConnectingVets.com team is a veteran or very closely related to the veteran community. How closely related, you ask? Well, we have former military spouses that are now veteran spouses. We have children, those dependents, aka military brats of military members, a wide variety of folks on our team who are all connected and focused on the veteran experience. Check us out. Go to ConnectingVets.com like 30, 40 times a day. Okay, maybe that's not that realistic, but you can follow us on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and that is the best way to be kept up to date on everything that's happening here at ConnectingVets.com. And let me tell you, my friends, there is a lot happening. Yeah. If you are not tapping on your phone to like us, to follow us, to do all those things that you do on the social media platforms, you're just doing it wrong. You're doing life wrong if you're not following us, because your life, it's incomplete without ConnectingVets.com, because we have the latest and greatest news, information, benefits, even some freebies. Yeah, we got some of those to let you know about on the site as well. You know, one thing that I told you about a while back was VetTix. Now, VetTix is an organization that, in essence, allows you to get free tickets where you just pay like a little shipping and handling fee, essentially, for the mailing of the tickets, or reservation fee if they're will call. I just got 4 free tickets through VetTix. I finally used it for the first time, and any veteran can sign up. You just have to verify that you are a veteran, and I got 4 tickets to a mixed martial arts event that's happening up in Baltimore. I'm going to be going up to that, and I'm going to be going for free because of VetTix. You can sign up for it, too. We let you know about it. You can find that story. Maybe we'll put that back out on social media today, but it's things like that that we're out there to let you know about, because listen, you served your nation, and you deserve everything that is coming to you, and there is a lot, and you might not know about it all. You also might not know about Ivan Reichlin. Ivan is a 20-year Army vet, still serving in the National Guard, with time in Special Forces among a litany of interesting jobs in his military background. Ivan's doing something pretty interesting outside of his military career on his free time to bring attention to veterans' issues. He started a 1,776-mile run. 1776, you get it? throughout every county in Virginia. He's calling it Run with Reichlin, and he's going to tell us all about himself and his run in just a little bit. How about now? Please welcome to the show, Ivan Reichlin. Ivan, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Eric. I'm doing great. I'm here from calling in from Portsmouth City Park in Virginia here.
Oh, it sounds like you're actually out running on the road right now as you talk to us. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. If that's okay, if I can continue. If it's too noisy, I'll go ahead and stop and we can continue to talk.
You know what? For right now, it seems like it's doing okay. But, you know, first, okay. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background, Ivan? You know, when did you join? What do you do? And as I said, you're still in the National Guard. Where have you been throughout your service?
Yeah, sure, Eric. So thanks for having me on. And so I started in 1997. When I was living in Iowa, going to school there, joined the Simultaneous Membership Program, ROTC, and National Guard, and came in as an infantryman, went to basic training, part of AIT, Advanced Individual Training, and then transitioned back after that into the ROTC program at the University of Northern Iowa. And then after that, commissioned, became an intelligence officer. Fast forward a couple years during law school, and then after law school, I went to serve at the National Guard Bureau on orders. So basically back and forth over since 2004, I've been bouncing on orders, off orders, deployed. And I guess in summary, I've probably been to four or five different locations to include Afghanistan, Republic of Georgia. Last year I was in Jordan and then also in El Salvador as a Special Forces officer.
Wow. So a very interesting career that you've had within the military. And, you know, as
right. Some people call it eclectic.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, when you look at that list of different positions that you've held, it would certainly be eclectic and wide ranging. I think diverse would also be a good way to put it. You know, as a right. National Guard soldier serving in the National Guard currently, you know, when you went from serving full time to serving in the National Guard and the different transitions you've made in your career, what do you remember most as far as the biggest transition that you've made, as far as how it affected you towards the civilian version of Ivan Reichlin as opposed to the one in uniform?
So I would say that the biggest thing that I can remember is last year coming off of active duty when I was in Jordan, going back to my civilian job. Now, I need to say that in my civilian capacity, I served within the intelligence community. So the transition process wasn't too difficult once I had that job locked in. But essentially, resigning from that job to do this run that I'm doing is probably the biggest leap that I've ever made. Huge risk financially, big risk physically, but I think it's the right thing to do. And to answer your question, earlier this year when I did resign from government service, and I'm almost about at the point where I'll retire from the military, I'm in that transition process now, so I'm trying to navigate it myself.
And what has been the most difficult part of that? I mean, as you just said, basically resigning your job that you were holding in the civilian world, but was there anything that you really weren't expecting to come along as you're going through this transition process?
There's a lot that you need to, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of folks skip the process of ACAPing, as we call it in the Army, where you transition over. And there are a lot of training and courses that are done and given to you. Most people skip that as much as they can, but I would recommend that they don't do that to get the full breadth of understanding of what benefits you have as you transition from military service, whether it be Veterans Affairs benefits, whether it be some of the, if you wanted to start your own business, Small Business Administration benefits. There are a lot of resources out there that most, I guess, my peers and maybe a little bit myself as well, did not capitalize on, that can be capitalized on to make that transition easier. Other things that I guess I would recommend is different networks to include, you know, social media. There's a LinkedIn for military network called Rally Point that some people use to help with that transition process of networking with like-minded individuals.
Right.
Would help facilitate a smoother transition.
Right, and we've spoken to them, and that is a great organization doing great things over there. As you said, it's like a combination of LinkedIn, Facebook, all that stuff for only the military and veteran community. And we're speaking to a member of the military community, soon to be a veteran himself, Ivan Reichlin, who's served for over 20 years now, including serving
almost
as a Green Beret. Almost 20 years now?
Yes, sir.
All right, so coming up on 20 years. I thought it was just over 20 years and is currently doing Run with Reichlin, which is where he's running through every county in Virginia, 1,776 miles. We were talking about this earlier, Ivan, myself and super producer Jake Hughes. I don't know if I've run 1,776 miles in the duration of my life. You're doing it over 81 days. First off, you're crazy. Second off, what made you decide to do this?
Well, thanks for that. I take that as a compliment as far as crazy. I get that from quite a few people. I think I'm crazy myself, but I don't know. What triggered me to do this? A couple years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine that's part of Rubicon. I'm sure you've heard of them.
Right.
And she was telling me how she's involved in helping the veteran community with veteran suicide. And she struck me when she said roughly 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And I thought to myself, there's no way that number's that high, not even a chance. So after a few days, I thought to myself, well, let me just look it up. I did some cursory research. And while the figure is debatable, it still comes up pretty frequently, as that is the statistic that most people would agree that is the rough number of veterans that die by suicide a day. And so that, a few years back, coupled with me wanting to transition from the government space into the civilian sector, I thought to myself, why don't I do it in a way that's bringing awareness to a cause that I think most people in America can get behind, and do it in a positive manner. And I'd seen that there's been a 22 push-up a day challenge. There's been 22 pull-up challenges out there. There's also another organization, Steve Durgan, with his Bike 22 challenge with the Victory for Veterans. And I thought to myself, why don't I do something even more challenging? And do the 22 miles a day. And I thought this is a good way to, do what I like to do, which is cardio and physical fitness, promote exercise and a healthy lifestyle, while concurrently doing it in a way that's getting behind a cause. And so I'm doing this run to help out. I have on my website, I have listed 5 veteran support charities, nonprofits that are on the front lines of supporting the veteran suicide epidemic in the communities that I come from. And so I figured, why not do this and help raise money for those charities that can actually help out veterans in need, in addition to what the VA is already doing.
Wow, and that is certainly a great cause. Now, you have been running for how many days now? How many days are you into it? I know it's 81 days that you're doing, so how many are you through so far?
So, miles on this. So I'm over, yesterday I hit 500 miles. I think I'm at 517. So divide that by 22. I can't do it on the fly.
That's okay. I can probably do it.
I'm probably around 30 miles, almost 30 miles, or excuse me, 30 days. So probably between 25 and 30 days there.
Yeah, it looks like you're right about at 26, according to my calculations. And my calculations, okay, That's me using a calculator. I cheat like that. Not a problem for me.
You're probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in a radio, 25.90909090901, to be specific. But, during those 25 days that you've been out running, 11 miles, two 11-mile sections each day to do 22 miles a day, what has that experience been like for you? And like, what's going through Ivan Reichlin's mind while he's out there running every day?
So I'll tell you what's going on with my mind and then my feet, if I may. So with my mind, I guess as I'm running, I bump into quite a few people. I'll stop and talk to them, listen to what they have to say, and learn from them. Also telling them about the veteran suicide epidemic. And most of them are not aware of that issue. And then as I explain it to them, they're in the same position that I was a couple of years ago. Didn't believe it. And as I go around, I get a lot of support. I've been getting quite a bit of support, whether it's on the ground, face-to-face here, and then on social media. But I guess the bottom line is the reaction that most people give me is that they like the fact that it's a positive message amidst all the negativity that's going on in most of the TV today.
Right.
As far as my feet are telling me, why are you doing this? Because they don't like it, but whatever. I promised I'd do 1776 for our country and 22 for our veterans, so I got to continue to execute on that.
You know, I've seen documentaries on the ultra marathoners, the people who run marathons that are like hundreds of miles and stuff like that. And it does take a physical toll. So, you know, you are essentially, you know, a third of the way through your project of running 81 days, 22 miles a day. How is your body holding up at this point overall? And do you have any doubt that you'll be able to make it through the 81 days?
So I had doubt initially because when you're just, because I only trained a little bit for this. And then as we were getting into it, there was a lot of changes that I had to make to the diet and increase in protein shakes and recovery drinks. So I think at this point, initially it was difficult as we were trying to test things out. Because although I've done ultra marathons in the past, I hadn't done anything with this amount of sustained, continued, and consistent distance.
Right.
So at this point of the game, 500 miles in, I mean, I have my days where my Achilles feel like they're going to explode, but I've been wrapping them. And as far as the diet, we maintain a pretty good diet. I also have I have a support team that continues to keep me alive, I guess, if you will. I got to give a shout-out to Huston Shake, who basically prepares all the nutrients that I need for the day in the morning and the evening for recovery. So we have a system in place at this point where I have no doubt I'll finish. I may have to walk, but it'll get done.
We're speaking with Ivan Reichlin. Ivan has been serving in the United States military for just about 20 years now, still serving in the National Guard, time in Special Forces, and an eclectic mix of jobs during his time in as well, and is currently undergoing Run with Reichlin, which he started, and is 1,776 miles, every county in Virginia. You're about a third of the way through. What has been the most impressive part of this so far for you? Whether it's something you saw, somebody you met, something you did. I mean, what has really stuck out thus far in your run to you, Ivan?
I got to say that I hadn't seen Virginia in this level of depth before. So I live in Northern Virginia, so I stick to mostly up there in Northern Virginia. I'd have to see the scenery, the beautiful... I mean, at the end of the day, I'm doing this also to, you know, relieve some stress that I have. So I would have to say that the beauty of the scenery that I've come across, in addition to the nice people that I interact with. I mean, sometimes I'll run through different neighborhoods and people will stop and take sometimes 20, 30 minutes. And what was it? Last week, I spoke with a gentleman who's a... You know, he had a flag flying, Marine Corps flag. I think you're Navy, right, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Marine Corps flag and American flag. And as I'm getting outside of the city, you see a lot of that and a lot of patriotism, and they're willing to give forth the time and effort. And sometimes people just pull out their wallet and say, here, can I donate to you now? And I'm like, well, if you could go to the website, that'd be easier. But I would say that's the most memorable. When people hear the story and immediately pull out their wallet, and it, to me... I've never asked for money before in my life. Just as a military guy, that's just not what we do.
Right.
But what that struck me when people are just willing to do that when they've only spoken to you a couple minutes, and you know, you have a lot of scammers out there. So to me, it's a refreshing surprise. So I would have to say that was pretty impressive.
We're speaking with Ivan Reichlin, Special Forces veteran, almost 20 years in the United States military, currently serving in the National Guard, currently running through every county in Virginia. Now, Ivan, I've heard that you were also exploring a possible run of a different kind, being one for the United States Senate in particular. Now, as you've run through Virginia, again, a third of the way through your 81-day project that you've set in front of yourself, has that run pushed you towards running in that other way?
Oh, that's a good question, and my answer is absolutely so. You know, my goal in all of this is to change, you know, whether I decide to, well, first off, I'll say yes. I'm considering running for U.S. Senate here in Virginia, and I launched the exploratory committee concurrently with the run. And I wanted to do it in a way that, again, like I said earlier, that promotes positive discussion, getting behind a cause that most of us can get behind. Because at the end of the day, as a nation and as a commonwealth, as a state here, most of us agree on almost all most issues. You know, I don't agree with everything with my wife, but we work together and we raise a family. Right. I got wife and two kids. So as I'm running around, absolutely, I'm trying to see whether or not I'm somebody that could be a good representative of the people of Virginia. And that requires, I think, a ground game, a dialogue, interaction. And essentially, it's a 18-month interview if I pursue it. So I want to see if I'm of the caliber that people will want to support. And if I get enough support, then that'll trigger the next decision of actually conducting a full-blown run. So right now, I don't know how much you know about the Federal Election Commission rules, but right now I'm just in the infancy stages to see if I can garner that support.
Right.
And that's being done through, obviously, the Run with Raekwon program. If not, I can hang. If there's not enough support, I can still hang my head up high and go back to my family and say, you know what? I did the right thing. It was a good cause. And we helped, you know, one of the big issues that I want to get behind is supporting our veterans throughout my life as I finish out my career. So I can hang my head up high either way.
And certainly a very interesting and difficult way to go about checking out whether you're going to be able to find that support. Seems like most people who are looking at public office just send out some sort of team of scouts. You're literally out there pounding feet on the pavement and going around through every county in Virginia. So certainly doing things not the easy way. But of course, you don't expect a Green Beret to do things the easy way, do you, Ivan?
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I think it resonates. As I'm talking to people face-to-face, I understand that I'm only hitting a few people here and there. Maybe I'll speak with 10 or 15 or 20 people throughout the day as I'm running around. But what we're doing is also overlaying a social media campaign. So as I'm running, I'm not sure if you had a chance to take a look, we're leveraging social media to amplify the message. Obviously, it gets my name out there. So if that works, I mean, I think people will see that my work ethic is hopefully a little bit more than some of the folks that are up there right now. And I'd like to, if I end up deciding to run, to bring that level of passion, also the 20 years of experience that I've had, you know, working globally and working with other nations that are partnered, back to our domestic political discussion so that we can actually move forward rather than just going at each other. That's kind of where I'm at.
Right. You know, there are other veterans out there who might be looking for a way that they can give back to the veteran community, that they can try to combat this epidemic, really, of suicide that we see in the veteran community. And they might not be able to do 1,776 miles in 81 days like you are. If people are out there looking for a way, trying to find a way that they can do something, what would you recommend to them to trying to find their path to bringing attention to these important issues?
I would recommend find what you're most passionate about that aligns with, you know, a veteran's cause. Contact those individuals, the organization, the group, and see how you can help. I mean, one way, I mean, since we're talking about Run with Raekwon, if you don't mind running a mile or two, that's something easy, or walking a mile or two and helping us get the message out there and saying that you're doing it to support our veterans, the 22 veteran suicide rate. But overall, I would recommend, you know, do what you're passionate about, because then you don't feel like you're doing a job. You're literally doing your hobby, and sometimes you get paid to do your hobby. And I like to say I haven't really worked a day in my life because I've always pursued my passion.
And you know what? That is part of the key. Finding that thing that you enjoy makes work not feel like work. I always thought it was kind of a trite expression that it doesn't even feel like work. But I can tell you, doing this job that I love so much, it really doesn't. And getting to talk to veterans like Ivan Raekwon, who's doing Run with Raekwon, where he is going 1,776-mile run throughout every county in Virginia to bring awareness to that significant issue of veteran suicide. Now, Ivan, if people are interested in finding out more about you, more about Run with Raekwon, where can they go to do so?
They can go to the website called Run with Raekwon. And it's, the spelling's a little weird because probably most people have never heard of that word. It's my last name. And it's spelled R-A-I-K-L-I-N. And since probably most of you here are listening are military, I can go phonetic on you with Romeo Alpha India Kilo Lima India November.
All right,
so now run with Raekwon.com.
Now do it in Morse code.
No, I can't do that. Come on.
Hey, it's already difficult enough. Listen, you are calling into a live radio program while running down the road in Virginia as part of Run with Raiklin. I know people who can't even get the calling into the show part down. You're able to do both of those at the same time. I'm not really expecting the Morse code thing to come out of you maybe next time. So, Ivan, again, as you have about 60 days, a little bit less than that, remaining in your run, we wish you the best of luck in being able to complete that 81-day adventure that you are on. And again, thank you so much for your service, and thank you for what you're doing to bring attention to this significant issue.
Eric, I really appreciate you. I thank you for amplifying this message. And if anybody that's listening wants to reach out to me directly, please feel free to do so. I'd love to get on a call. If you're behind this cause, I want to talk to everybody that is also aligned with this cause. So they can get a hold of me through the website, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you are on Twitter. He is at Raiklin, R-A-I-K-L-I-N. You can find him on there, and you can find him on the roads in Virginia. Now, Ivan, if people are interested in running with you, is that something that's on the table? People looking to head out on the road and join you?
That's totally on the table. But keep in mind that you fast runners out there, again, this is not a sprint. This is just basically me trying to survive 1,776 miles. So bear that in mind. While you're out here running with me, consistency is key, just like it is in life in general. But if you want to come out and run with me, yes, I would love that. Several people have done that before, and it's actually motivating because I see that if you're willing to come out here and run with me, that means you support the cause, and I'm going to give you all my time and attention as much as I can, tenfold, and give it back because you came out and supported me.
We've been speaking with Ivan Raiklin. Ivan is a man with almost 20 years under his belt serving in the United States military, and now with about 25 days under his belt of running 22 miles a day in two 11-minute blocks to bring attention to the significant issue of veteran suicide. Also, as he just told us, as he explores a run for the United States Senate in Virginia and sees if the Virginians out there are interested in him. We certainly were interested in talking to him, and thank him and all of our guests for coming on the show today. Motorcycler, philanthropist, Adam Sandoval. Again, check out missionthankyou.com. Three more free Harley-Davidsons being given away at that site. This has been The Morning Briefing. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.